Good morning. I am very delighted that I can be here today. As I look around your cheery sanctuary, it's so nice and light in here. It's one of the responsibilities I had at one time was to go around and help evaluate the health of individual congregations. And sometimes you go into a church and it looked like nobody loved it. But as I look around this church, it looks like somebody loves this place. It's beautiful, and thank you for what you're doing here. Another blessing I've had is to get to know your pastor, Pastor Roger. The reason I have known him in years past is because when I worked in the ministerial department in Oregon, we would have pastor prayer conferences. And we also extended an invitation for the pastors in the Upper Columbia Conference to come and join us. And Pastor Roger was one of those who accepted that invitation. He would come, but he would not come by himself. Guess what he would bring with him? And he so blessed us with the music. And so we would sing and praise the Lord together and just had wonderful times. So it was really fun getting acquainted with him again up here in this setting. So we are in this area because of kids and grandkids. And we're glad to be here. I had said something to Pastor Roger about what I might speak about today. And so he said, well, I'll ask him. And so he did last week. Remember he asked you about what I might speak about today, last week? And when that was done, there were two different suggestions that were made. One was any theme from Genesis. The other was how to prepare for the mark of the beast. So as Roger and I compared notes, that covers everything from Genesis to Revelation. So that gives me a lot of room, right? And so he said, well, now what could I speak about based on that? He said, the Sabbath is a big issue in the mark of the beast, and the Sabbath is found in Revelation. So why don't you speak about Sabbath? And so I think that's what I'll do. In fact, what I hope to convey to you today is something that I think in the very end crisis is something about the Sabbath that we will want to remember at that time. Okay? So Sabbath. How many of you grew up, as I did, in a family that faithfully observed Sabbath, including the preparation day on Friday? What memories do you have of those times? Are they good memories, Sabbath memories, or bad, or maybe a mix of both? Some of you may know Larry Vavrucka. I don't know if he's still teaching. He was teaching at one time at the university, at Walla Walla University. He once shared some of his Sabbath memories, and they went like this. From my childhood come memories of Friday afternoon baths and the smell of Tide being dusted into the warm waters to get the tub super slippery. If my brother and I climbed high enough on the back wall, then we almost generated enough speed to make a complete oval around the claw-footed tub that my folks had. You two army boys, see if they could zip around the tub with it, made slick with the Tide. Larry continued, Friday was the preparation day with baking casseroles, waxing floors, and roughhousing with my brother. My dad, though, he claims, thought the Sabbath hours were defined by dignified quietness and careful study of the Sabbath school lesson. I'll never forget the time he determined to sanctify us being the two roughhousing, tub-sliding brothers. As Dad rounded the corners with a yardstick for a switch, Larry says, the freshly waxed hallway floor got him. We, my brother and I, made the mistake of smiling, or was it smirking, as the yardstick he grabbed was destroyed by flailing arms and legs. Now, lest you get the wrong impression about Larry and his army brother, Larry concludes that he also has these memories of Sabbath. I remember sitting on the front porch, smelling like freshly washed laundry, remember the Tide? Watching sunsets through the eucalyptus and pepper trees. It must have been in California, huh? Paired with the sunsets are memories of family worships, lighting a Sabbath candle, family talk time, singing, Sabbath is a happy day. Personal prayers which often included the dog and the cats and our family group hug. Well, those are some of Larry's memories. What are yours? We could probably spend the rest of this morning sharing Sabbath memories. Some of those memories enjoyable, maybe some of them not so enjoyable. But I want to share something else that I've been finding enjoyable. Since I retired, I've been reading through the Bible again, this time using the Andrews Study Bible with various comments from the seminary professors down at the bottom. Maybe some of you have seen that Bible. At the same time, I've been reading a commentary on those same passages in the books Patriarchs and Prophets, Prophets and Kings, Desire of Ages, and now Acts of the Apostles. That's where I am right now. But speaking of memories, one of the fascinating things I've come across in this study is what happens when God uses the word remember. And might not it be important for us to remember the word remember, especially on Sabbath, for the fourth commandment begins with what word? Remember. So I want us to do a Bible study together this morning. That means you need to get us your Bibles. Okay, I saw that, and none of you have an excuse because I saw Bibles in the pew racks. And if you're willing, I'd actually like to have some of you read some of these passages as we come to them, okay? Because we're going to look at the word remember and how it's used in the Bible, okay? So you all have a Bible, and at various times I'll ask for volunteers to read these different texts. Is that okay? All right? So let's start our study of remembering on Sabbath by looking back to a time when Israel largely forgot all about the Sabbath. Based on the book of Exodus, when would Israel have largely forgotten about the Sabbath? From the book of Exodus. When would they have forgotten about the Sabbath?
When they're in bondage.
When they're in bondage, sure. How much do slaves work? They get a day off? Okay. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 258 says this. In their bondage, the Israelites had to some extent lost their knowledge of God's law, and they departed from its precepts. The Sabbath had been generally disregarded, and the exactions of their taskmasters made its observance apparently impossible. Now, what does this statement by Ellen White imply about the knowledge of the Sabbath during their captivity? Did they know about the Sabbath? Yeah, but they weren't really following through. They knew it, but they neglected it. Does the Bible give any indication that this statement by Ellen White is true? Remember the word remember? Notice how it is used, describing Israel's deliverance from Egypt in Psalm 105, 42 through 45. So let's turn there. Psalm 105, 42 through 45. And when one of you has that, read it for us nice and loud. I'd appreciate it. We even have a mic to help you here. Psalm 105, 42 through 45. Would somebody read that for us?
For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. Praise the Lord.
Okay, thank you. According to verse 42 that you just read, Psalm 105:42. What does God remember? What does he remember? Look, verse 42. What does he remember?
A promise.
A promise made to Abraham. Right, okay. So keep your fingers here on Psalm 105 because we're going to come back there in just a minute. But what was this promise that God made to Abraham? A promise that the Lord remembered at the time of the Exodus. That's found in Genesis 15, 13, and 14. Again, keep your fingers here in Psalm 105. We're coming right back to it. But for now, Genesis 15, 13, and 14. So Genesis 15, 13, and 14. Who has that one would read it for us? Genesis 15, 13, and 14.
All
right, the promise made to Abraham, right? about his descendants. So back to Psalm 105. What promise made to Abraham did God remember? The promise to deliver his people from slavery after 400 years, right? Okay. What then is God's remembering associated with here? God remembers the promise he made to Abraham of what happens with God's people at the time of the Exodus. God remembers the promise and what happens to the people when the promise is fulfilled. They are delivered from slavery, aren't they? Okay. Let's look at something more specific in Psalm 105 now, where God remembers the promise of deliverance to Abraham's descendants. According to verse 45, Psalm 105, verse 45, last verse in the chapter. Why does God deliver Israel from Egypt in addition to keeping his promise to Abraham? So the people could do what? Keep his law, right. So what does that imply was happening in Egypt before they were delivered? If by being delivered they could keep his law, what must have been happening before? They could not keep his law, right? Okay? So if the phrase God's laws included the Ten Commandment law later given at Sinai, which of those ten laws, the Ten Commandments, were the Egyptians' taskmasters most be concerned about the Israeli slaves breaking? Which of the ten were the Egyptian taskmasters most be worried about the Israelites not keeping? Which of the ten?
Fourth.
Which one?
Fourth.
Why the fourth?
Sabbath.
No work, right? Okay. So, if the phrase God's laws included the Ten Commandment law, and when the Sabbath was in there, the taskmaster would have been worried about they're not working, right? Now, is there any indication in the Bible that the Israelite slaves at that time were working less in order to keep Sabbath? Look in Exodus 5, verses 4 and 5. Any indication that they were working less in order to keep Sabbath? Exodus 5, verses 4 and 5. Can one of you have that? Would read it for us? Exodus 5, 4 and 5. Based on this, what do you think was going on? People not working. Wonder why. Looking at Exodus 4, 29 to 31. Exodus 4, 29 through 31. Again, if one of you would read that for me. Exodus 4, 29 through 31. Yes.
So the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord was concerned about the sons of Israel, and that he had seen their affliction, then they bowed low and worshiped.
Thank you. All right, so Moses and Aaron, they meet with the elders of the people. What do you think Moses and Aaron told the elders and then the rest of the people that caused them to worship? Because their reaction was they worship, right? Don't you believe he told them that the Lord was remembering something? Something he had promised old forefather Abraham 400 years before. Now I continue with a quote from Patriarchs and Prophets that I read earlier. Moses had shown his people that obedience to God was the first condition of deliverance, and the efforts made to restore the observance of the Sabbath had come to the notice of their oppressors. Now tell me something. This is something new to me. Am I the only one who had missed the fact that it was God's effort to get his people to remember the Sabbath that got them into trouble with Pharaoh? I hadn't realized that before. And there's a fascinating connection between two remembers here. What's the Lord remembering? He's promised to Abraham that after 400 years, he would deliver the descendants, right? But what was God through Moses trying to get Israel to remember? The Sabbath. Again, what do you think that Moses told the elders when he returned from Midian with this message from the Lord? If you want God to remember his promise to deliver you, then you need to remember him by worshiping him as the creator on the day he set aside for that purpose. Oh, by the way, why was it especially important that they worship God as the creator in Egypt? Why so important to worship God as creator in Egypt? Whom did the Egyptians worship? Did the Egyptians worship the creator or the creation? That's right. Which aspects of creation? Remember the 10 plagues? Can you tell me some of the 10 plagues that fell on the Egyptians? What are some of them?
Frogs.
Frogs. What did the Egyptians worship? What else? What other plagues? Okay. That's right. So each of those plagues was directed against one of the things that the Egyptians worshiped. They worshiped creation, not the creator. Now, why was God so concerned that the Israelite slaves remember Sabbath, even before it was put in stone at Sinai? I believe the Lord urged his people back there to keep the Sabbath, even though it led hard-hearted Pharaoh to double their workload. He urged them to keep the Sabbath and serve the God of the Sabbath for two reasons. First of all, Israel needed to remember the Sabbath and the Lord of it because of the discouraging mess they were in at the time. Again, in Patriarchs and Prophets, it points out that the elders had been doing their best to sustain the sinking faith of the Israelites by repeating promises like that made to Abraham. However, the Egyptians found out what the elders were doing, and they scornfully pointed out how their gods were more powerful than that of the Israelites. After all, scorned the Egyptians, who are the masters and who are the slaves? So whose God is more powerful? Well, unfortunately, all too many of the Israelite slaves were believing the Egyptians. If Israel's God was so powerful, why didn't he deliver them? Few among them saw the truth. And the truth was what? The reason they were in slavery was because of their own unfaithfulness to God. So he had withdrawn his blessings from them. So reason number one that Israel needed to remember the Sabbath and its Lord is that their faith was at a low point. But secondly, Israel needed to remember the Sabbath even before Sinai, because they needed regular weekly reminders of what happens when God remembers his people. So I'm going to cite some examples, and I want you to help me with this, from Israel's earlier history that they could have studied on Sabbath, and you tell me what happened when God remembered, because the phrase God remembered is used in these passages, okay? The first one is in Genesis 8:1. Okay, let's go there, shall we? Genesis 8:1. Turn there in your Bibles. Back to Genesis. One of the themes that I was asked to preach on was on out of the book of Genesis. So let's go to Genesis, chapter 8, verse 1. Who has that one? Genesis 8, verse 1. Subsided? Yeah. Okay, thank you. So, God remembers Noah, and when he remembers Noah, what happens? The wind begins to blow, right? And the waters subside, and they can get out of the ark. Genesis 19:29. A few chapters on, Genesis 19:29. God remembers again. See what happens. Genesis 19:29. God remembers Abraham, and what happens? Lot's spared, right? Genesis 30, 22. Moving on to Genesis. Genesis chapter 30, verse 22. Another time God remembers. Genesis 30, verse 22. Who has that one? That's a short one. Genesis 30, verse 22. Who has that one?
Then God remembered Rachel.
And he opened her womb, and whom did she conceive? It doesn't say so right there, but it was Joseph. Okay? Rachel's rival Leah had child after child for husband Jacob. So what happened when God remembered Rachel and listened to her? God opened her womb. Out comes Joseph, who becomes later on the deliverer for his people, didn't he? Moving from God's remembering in Genesis to his doing so in Exodus. Exodus 2, 23 and 24. Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. Notice what happens when God remembers here. Who has Exodus 2, 23 and 24? Children of Israel grown because of slavery, and God remembers the promise that he made to Abraham, and guess what? He does something about delivering them, huh? So, why did the discouraged Israelites need to regularly remember the Sabbath and its Lord? What does the Sabbath commandment begin with? What word? Remember. Didn't they need to remember what had happened over and over again in their past history when God remembered? Yes, they could recall, especially on Sabbath, the stories of God's remembering Noah and Lot and Rachel. But they could also remember what the Lord had done for them as well. Something else that they could do well to remember is that, especially on Sabbath, it was a good idea to remember God not only remembers his people, he also remembers their enemies, like the Amalekites, for instance. Ah, yes, the Israelites could remember the Amalekites. That bunch of yellow-bellied, blaspheming cowards. These loudmouths actually mocked what God had done to defeat the Egyptians, denying and defying God's power. They ridiculed the other nations who admitted that they were afraid of Israel and its God. The Amalekites even took an oath by their gods that they would totally annihilate Israel, every last one of them, so none of them would escape. Furthermore, they boasted that the Israelis' God would be powerless to stop them. But despite all the bragging, did I mention they were a bunch of cowards? You see, in every large group of people, it seems there are stragglers, those too weak to keep up with the rest of them. And that was true among the traveling Israelites as well. So whom did the big, bold Amalekites attack? The weak stragglers at the back of the pack? It's sort of the equivalent of shooting somebody in the back, you know? Now, what do you think? With the Lord who is doing his best to get this crowd from Egypt to Canaan, would he remember something like that? And would you expect him to do something about it? Remember that battle where Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands until the victory was won? You know who they were fighting that day? That's right, the Amalekites. Did the Lord remember not only his people to deliver them, but his enemies to destroy them? And speaking of remembering, notice what the Lord declared about his and everyone else's memory of the Amalekites. One more verse, Exodus 17, 14. Notice what it says about the memory of Amalek. Exodus 17, verse 14. I'll go ahead and read this one, I guess. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the what? The memory of Amalek under heaven. You see, the Amalekites were such high-handed, hard-hearted sinners that it's as if God finally said, I'm going to distinctly remember forgetting all about them and soaking the rest of you. Sabbath, you see, for ancient literal Israel and for modern spiritual Israel is the day to remember that God remembers. He remembers his people to deliver them, and he remembers their enemies to defeat them. And that's something that I at least need to remember about God on the Sabbath. Too many of you, like me, might relate to the story of a truck driver who dropped in at an all-night restaurant in Broken Bow, Nebraska, several years ago. The waitress had just served the trucker when three swaggering, leather-jacketed motorcyclists of the Hells Angels types came in through the door. Spoiling for a fight, one of them grabbed a hamburger off the trucker's plate, another took his French fries, and the third picked up his coffee and began to drink it. But the trucker did not respond as anybody expected. He calmly rose, picked up his check for the food he never got to eat, paid for it, and walked out the door. The waitress followed him to put the money in the till, and she watched as the big truck drove away into the night. When she returned, one of the bikers said to her, "Well, he's not much of a man, is he?" She replied, "I can't answer about that, but he's not much of a truck driver. He just ran over three motorcycles out there in the parking lot." You see, folks, I don't know about you, but I must admit the part of me wants to be that truck driver. I'm tempted to get even with my truck against those who hurt me. And I can even think of some specific motorcycles I'd like to run over. But you know, that's why I need Sabbath. I need a day to put things back into proper perspective. I need a day to remember that God remembers. He remembers his friends, and he remembers their and his enemies. And further, he will remember to do what's right by both. Yes, why do we need to remember the Sabbath and its Lord? Don't we too live in a world like the Egyptians that worships the creation over the Creator? Don't we too need regular Sabbath reminders, not only of God as Creator, but also as a deliverer who remembers those who have been enslaved by sin? But don't we also need to remember the Sabbath for one more reason? We need to remember the Sabbath as a day not only for us to remember, but rejoice that this day is, of all the week, is the day that God remembers. And we can spend the day rejoicing in that. Reminds me of my brother-in-law, Daryl. Daryl got Alzheimer's when he was in his mid-50s, early onset, and began going downhill and got to the place where he had to be put in a special place for people with Alzheimer's. And they lived in, my sister and he lived in the Dalles, and we lived in Portland. So we would go over to see my sister and see Daryl occasionally. But this particular time, and I'm thinking of, it had been a couple of months since we had seen Daryl, and he was remembering less and less. And so, of course, the question in our mind is, when we walk in the door, is Daryl going to know who we are? And so we walked in with my sister, and Daryl looked up, looked at me, looked at my wife, Claudia, and says, "Well, it's been a really long time." You see, he remembered, and we rejoiced. Yes, Sabbath, the day to remember God as the Creator and the Redeemer, but also Sabbath, the day to remember that God remembers each one and every one of us. And in the last day, the day when there be the final struggle between those with the mark of the beast and those with the seal of God, what will we need to remember on that day? You see, it's when God remembers his people that he delivers. That's the day he's promised he'll remember. He remembers, and we rejoice even in that day. Amen.